Okay, we are right in the middle of a sugya. So those who were not with us yesterday, I hope you managed to catch up the share because it's going to be a little bit tricky otherwise to follow what's going on today. We are on the third wide line. We're on the third wide line, so let's back up a little bit just to update. We're discussing this whole topic, which of course all began with Ben Seira Umaira, who became older, so he's changed his whole status. So we went on to discuss a goy who committed an avera and then converted. And the question is what to do with him, and that we were discussing yesterday, that it really depends actually what type of avera he committed. So the example that we were talking about was if he committed adultery with a Jewish woman. That's the example that we left off with yesterday. And in the Brisa, it says that he's chayav a punishment. He's chayav a punishment. So again, you've got this goy. There was one example where he killed, but we're not talking about that now. The second example was he committed adultery. A non-Jew committed znus with a married Jewish woman. Following which, he then converted, and the Braiser says that he's chayav misa. So now, the big question was, didn't we say earlier on in the Omer, the principle called Ishtani. Ishtani means he's undergone a big change. Now, we'll all remember that, I hope you remember, that there's two aspects of Ishtani. One aspect of Ishtani is, has the punishment changed? The other aspect of Ishtani is, have the dinim, the halachas, changed? What does that mean, have the halachas changed? Because a goy, as mentioned, does not need to Edim, does not need a Beis Din of 23, does not need a Hasra'ah, whereas a Jew needs all of the above. So his dinim, the way that we sentence him and treat him in Beis Din, has now changed. That's definitely changed. The question is, what about the death penalty? Has that changed? Because if both of them have changed, so we look at him as a completely new being, and therefore we have to exempt him. Now, in our case, it does not say he's exempt. To the contrary, it says he's jolly well chayev. So again, he committed adultery with a Jewish woman who was married. He did so as a goy, and he then converted. And the Gemara's question was, why are you putting him to death? Surely everything has changed. Not only his halachic status, but the dinim have changed, the punishments changed. So why are we still being mechayev in Misa? Now, what does that mean that his punishment has changed? What would the punishment have been had he remained a goy? And the answer is sayof. This we explained early on in the Omer. A goy always gets sayof, sword. But having become a Jew, now the punishment is something different, and it is chenek. So it's not the same punishment. So if it's not the same punishment, he's undergone a change. And if he's undergone a change, why are we still being mechayev him misa? I thought we said we have a principle called that if indeed, if indeed he has absolutely changed his status, then the halacha is that he does not get punishment. So why are we saying that he does get punishment? That's the Gemara's kasha. So have a look at the Gemara. Have a look at the Gemara. Whoopsie. The Gemara is on the third wide line. Third wide line. Says the Gemara, and this is what we left off with yesterday. Says the Gemara, Elo, it's true. There has been a change in punishment. because it used to be, had he only remained a goy, he would have got chenek. Now that he's a Jew, he's going to get, sorry, he would have got sayof, and now he's going to get chenek. No, so he's undergone a change. And if he's undergone a change, why am I chayvim misa? So the Gemara says, one second, is this change an upgrade or a downgrade? Meaning, is the new punishment that he's going to receive more chamor or less chamor? And the Gemara at the moment, we'll see this is subject to a machlokes, is assuming that the new punishment is actually less chamor. Says the Gemara, hello, on the third white line. Kalo b'chamura meshech shaycha. A lightweight punishment regarding a heavyweight punishment, meshech shaycha, has got a connection. What does that mean? It's got a connection. Again, which punishment would he have received had he remained a goy? A sayof. Now he's going to get chenek. Chenek is the lesser of the two. We have no problem to give him the lesser of the two punishment because chenek can be, as it were, subsumed and included in sayof. I can't give him a more severe punishment. Why can't I give him a more severe punishment? Because I'm sorry to tell you, he never committed the Aveira in a status that would warrant a more severe punishment. So I definitely can't upgrade his punishment, but to downgrade his punishment, that's no problem. So we're assuming, in order for this teretz to make sense, that going from sayof to chenek is a downgrade. So if it's a downgrade, I'm getting a less severe punishment. It's no problem to give him a less severe punishment, says the Gemara on the third wide line. Ho, nicha, that's all fine and well. L'rabbonon. It's all good according to Rabbonon. You'll remember we had a discussion earlier on in the Masechta. What is actually higher up the ladder? What's considered more chomor, sayof or chenek? So it happens to be that indeed the Rabbonon say that sayof is more chomor than chenek. Chenek is literally the bottom of the ladder in the context of the Arba Misois Bezdin. It's the lowest form of punishment, the least chomor. So according to the Rabbonon, then it's very good. Because when you're going from sayof to chenek, indeed, that is a downgrade. And if it's a downgrade, so I'm getting the lesser punishment, says the Gemara. Ho nicha l'rabbonon d'omri sayof chomor. They hold that the sword is a more strict punishment. Chenek is less of a punishment, so it's a downgrade, which is fine. Hello, l'Rabbi Shimon. But according to Reb Shimon de Omar Chenek, Chomor, Mayekelameima, question mark. But according to Reb Shemen, I'm sorry to tell you that Chenek is not a downgrade. To the contrary, it's an upgrade. And if it's an upgrade, so the question comes rebounding back. This goy, had he only remained a goy, would have got Sayof. Now that he's become Jewish, the punishment is chenek. And according to Reb Shimon, chenek is an upgraded punishment. It's a more severe punishment. How can I give him the more severe punishment when he's changed his status? Have a look at Rashi at the end of the fifth line. Ma yikelameima harei nishtane. But surely his Oinesh Misa has changed. It's changed. And not only has it changed, in which direction has it changed? Says Rashi, de b'misa chamurazu, this very strict punishment called chenek, loy hoya ra'u. That was never appropriate for him. So how can you possibly give him chenek, which is a more chamur punishment? Says the Gemara, okay, we've been assuming until now that which punishment would he have got Had he only remained as a non-Jew, he would have got Sayof. Why did we make that assumption? Because we said that the general rule is, and again, this turns out it's also Machlokes, but the general rule is that a guy who does an Aveira, he will get an Oinesh called a Sayof. Now, this is the big question, because if he would have got a Sayof, and now which punishment is he getting? He's getting something else completely, meaning he's getting Chenek. And the problem is, according to Reb Shimon, that is an upgrade. How can I possibly give him an upgraded punishment? The answer is that it's not so poshut that he would have got Saif. That is the opinion that we were following until now. Says the Gemara, Reb Shimon sovar lo ketana d'Bei Menashe. He follows the opinion of the Bei Menashe. What's the opinion of the Bei Menashe? Because the Bei Menashe holds the Omar, Kol Misa Ho Amura Lebnei Noach. Whenever we talk about a death penalty for a Bnei Noach, Einoi Ela Chenek. So I'm sorry to tell you, your whole Hanocha, your whole assumption was wrong. It's all wrong. In fact, had he remained a goy, he would have got chenek. And what punishment does he get as a Jew? Also chenek. Okay, wonderful. So he would have got chenek, and he is getting chenek now. So if there's no upgrade, there's no downgrade, it's the same punishment, and that's why it's chayev misa. But all of a sudden, Rabbeisai, now we get in trouble with the other Aveiro. Because in that particular brisa, there were two Aveiras mentioned. What were they? Either adultery or murder. A guy who kills a Jew. So if Reb Shimon holds that had he remained a guy, what punishment would he have got? He would have got a punishment called chenek. Okay. Now that he's become a Jew, what punishment does he get for adultery? Also chenek. Wonderful. No change. But for murder, there is a change. And what is that? It's now Sayof. Says the Gemara. Bishlema Eishes Ish. It's all fine and well when you're talking about Eishes Ish, which is adultery. So then you're right. Meikara Chenek, Vahashta Chenek. The punishment always would have been chenek. Now, too, it's chenek. Wonderful. Eloroitzeach. But with regard to murder, you're telling me the punishment would have been chenek. Mikara chenek. But vahashto sayof. But now it's sayof. Because a Jew who kills does not get the punishment of chenek, he gets sayof. So he's gone from sayof to chenek. So it's not the same punishment. What's the answer? Very good, but it's a downgrade. The answer is kala bechamura meshech. As we said before, lightweight punishments regarding a heavyweight punishment, that's considered connected. And if it's considered connected, therefore there's no problem to give him the punishment. Absolutely no problem to give him the punishment. Have a look at Rashi. My ikelameima. So we saw that Rashi already. Okay. So now, Rabbeisai, we're going back to the beginning of the sugya. How did this sugya all begin? The very first line of the Gemara. The Gemara quoted the statement of Rabbi Chanina. What did Rav Chanina say? We're going back now to first principles. Rav Chanina said that if a goy was mevorech es Hashem. That means he committed one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, following which he converted, he's potter. Why is he potter? Because everything has changed. Not only his status, but his dinim have changed and the mises changed. Because he used to get sayof and now he would get skila, so therefore he's off the hook. That was Rav Chanina's principle. We're going to try now and bring a support for that principle. Says the Gemara, Lema, Messiah lay. Let's bring a raya. Let's try and back up Rav Chanina's principle. It says the following: Sorcho v'acharkach bogro tidoin b'chenek. What does that mean? Sorcho v'acharkach bogro. Sorcho means to veer off, to stray. A particular girl strayed, we're just for the moment translating the words, and then she became Bogra, she became a Boigeres, which means she became a Gedolah. And it says that she gets a punishment of Chenek. Now, what's being referred to over here? Have a look at Rashi, Sorcha. Towards the end of the line there. Sorcha, she strayed, Nara Hamo'irasa. We're talking about a Nara, a girl who's 12 till 12 and a half, who's betrothed. Bimei Naras. In her days of Naras, she beskila. We've always said there's a special status to the Avera of adultery in the circumstances of Nara Hamoiraso, and it carries the punishment of skila. Ulabasaif Bogra. And then eventually she became a Boigeres, Misha Omda Bedin, when she finally got taken to Beis Din. So remember, the very extreme punishment of what? The extreme punishment of Skila is limited only to the fact that she is at the age of a Na'ara. Na'ara Hamoirasa, which means she is somewhere between the age of 12 and 12 and a half. So then the upgraded punishment goes from chenek, which is the normal punishment for znus. In our particular shaila, it'll be skila. But what do you do if by the time they marched her off to the Beis Din, she's no longer a Na'ara, she's now 13 years old? And what did the Gemara say? What punishment do I give to her? Chenek. Look back in the Gemara. Sorcho v'achakach bogro tidoin b'chenek. Why am I giving her chenek? Why do I not give her skila? Because after all, she committed the Avera when she was a Na'ara, albeit she's not a Na'ara now, but she certainly was at the time, and the Avera, the oinosh for Nara Moiros, so is skila. Why am I not giving her skila? Surely this backs up Rav Chanina's principle. Do you know why I'm not giving her skila? Because she's changed her status. Says the Gemara, look back in the Gemara, Biskila, my time alloy. Why am I not giving her skila, which is the upgraded punishment for a Nara Moiros who commits znus? Ah, I think I can guess. Lav mishum, isn't it because the hoyel vishtani, the kol shekein hocha the ishtani legamri. Why over there am I not giving her the skila punishment? The answer is because she's changed. What exactly has she changed? Have a look at Rashi. Tidoin b'chenek. We're going to judge her with chenek. Ke dino dahashta. In accordance with the din of now. Now that she's a fully grown adult, she's not just a Na'ara, but she's a boigeres. Had she committed znus now, what punishment would she have got? Chenek. So that's what I give her now. Why? B'skilas of Rashi my time aloi. Miss Dana, why am I not judging her with skila? It must be Mishon de Kiven de Ishtani Gufa. Because we apply the Ishtani principle, means she's undergone change, her guf has changed. She used to be a Naro, and now she's a Bogeres, is therefore Ishtani Kitala. Ah, so that would be the explanation. So too, her death penalty also changes. And this therefore seems to back up our whole principle. Not only does it back it up, says the Gemara, it's a fantastic proof. Do you know why it's a fantastic proof? Because over there, in the case of Nar Marasa, she has only undergone a very minimal change. The case that we began with, a goy who becomes a Jew, he's undergone a radical change. So if a small change means that we can't give the old punishment, Kol Shekein, when there's a big change, says Rashi, V'nehi delegamri loy miftiro. Even though it's true, we're not exempting him completely. This girl, we're still giving her the punishment of chenek. That is mishum, the principle we said before, the kala bechamura meishach shaycha, because the lower punishment is included in the bigger punishment. But I am exempting from the old punishment. Is kol shekein ocher. So if that's the case, even more so in our case of the goy, deishtani legamri bein bedinoi bein bemisasoi. Both his dinim have changed, his misa has changed, everything has changed. The kiven, deloy mechayev b'ho misa, potel legamri. And seeing as we cannot now give him the old punishment, he's completely changed. So that's why I'll be completely off the hook. So we seem very successfully to have brought a wonderful proof to Rav Chanina's principle. Says the Gemara in conclusion, Ha'omale Rabbi Yochanan, Letani, Letana, Toni, Tidoin, Beskila. Says the Gemara, you're right. If your previous din would have been correct, it would have been a good proof. But we have a brace that says that's not the punishment at all. You jolly well give her skila. You do give her skila, even though she's no longer a nara. How can you give her skila? Because she has not completely changed her status. Have a look at Rashi. Todan beskila demikara. I give her the skila that she would have been chayav from the beginning. Afal gav deishtani gufa. Even though it's true she has changed her guf, meaning she used to be a naron, now she's a boygeres. But lo yishtani k'talo. But the death penalty does not change. Is hachanami nidain nikkur beikara b'misasa yakalo. So too over here in the case of the goy, I could put in the same argument you're trying to suggest. He should be potter legamri. No, I'll give him the initial punishment. Had he remained a goy, he would have got sayef, so he'll still get a sayef. So if that's the case, you have not managed to bring a proof to Rav Chanina's principle. And that is the end of this sugya, a rather complicated sugya, but a very, very profound sugya. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, let's make a start to the next Mishnah, which is much, much easier. Ben Soira Umayra, the very famous line, Nidan al Shem Seifai. We're going back now to Ben Soira Umayra. The Ben Soira Umayra is judged in accordance with his end. Yomus Zakai va'al Yomus Chayev. Better that he dies now as an innocent young man rather than waiting for him to grow into a fully fledged adult and then he'll be over the worst of the worst averas. Remember, at the moment, all he's done is steal, which might be a bad avera, but it doesn't warrant a death penalty. But the way he's going is it looks like he's going to head to averas, which definitely do carry the death penalty, and therefore it's best that we put him to death right now. Says the Mishnah, Shemisason Shelrashoim, the death of wicked people, hano'o lahen, is of benefit to them, v'hano'o lo'ilam, and it's a benefit to the world. When a wicked person, Ayatollah of Iran, is bumped off, that's not only beneficial to him, it's beneficial to the whole world. Why? Look at Rashi. lachatay. They don't increase any more averas because they're dead. And it's also beneficial to the world. At least now the Oretz is shocked, is quiet. If you'd have this Rasha around committing averas, causing chaos, so that's the opposite of Sheket. When the Rasha is killed, however he dies, that's a Hana'a to the Olam. Everything now calms down. But when it comes to a tzaddik, says the Mishnah, it's the exact opposite. Let tzaddikim. If chas v'shalom a tzaddik dies, then ra lohem v'ra lo'olam. Then it's not beneficial for him, it's not beneficial for the olam. Chas v'shalom if a tzaddik departs, why not? Look at Rashi. Ra lohem shoyu meisifin zechuyos. Because as long as he was alive, he was increasing his zechuyos, which he can no longer do now that he's died. That's why it's bad for him. But it's also ra'al olam. Why? Shahoyu maginin. They would protect al dayram on their generation. Umaychikin es adayris. And they would give teichacha to the day. So as long as the tzaddik is here, Rashi's telling us he has two functions. Number one, he protects his generation. Number two, he gives them rebuke. And therefore, if a tzaddik, chas v'shalom, is taken from us, then that's ra lo'olam. It's bad for the world because now there's nobody to protect them. There's nobody to give them musa. So, yeah, sorry, Larry.
Can it be looked at as a kapara if a tzaddik is taken from the olam? It could be a kapara for the whole.
Yes, that is true. It says Misas Tzadikim V'Mechaperin. Of course, this is this week's parasha. Achrei Mois, 100%. There also is that benefit aspect. You're right. You're 100% Says the Mishnah, Yayin V'Sheino, wine and sleep. L'Rashoim is very, very good. Hana'ol Lahen V'Hana'ol Lo'ilo. But it's ra'lohen v'ra'lo'ilo. Why? What does sleep do? What does wine do? Well, the answer is very, very similar. Says Rashi, yayin v'sheino. L'rishoyim hanoyo lahem v'anoyo kol zman sheshoisim v'yeshenim. As long as they are drinking themselves drunk, and have become so tired they're now sleeping. So that's wonderful. Einon chaitin. Number one, they won't commit sins because they're fast asleep. And secondly, ve'ein marin labrius, neither are they doing anything negative to anybody else because they're fast asleep. So Baruch Hashem, they've put out of action. So when a goy, sorry, not a goy, when a Russia falls asleep, he drinks wine and he becomes so drunk that he's completely knocked out. So everybody is the beneficiary. He's the beneficiary, he's not doing any averas. Society is the beneficiary, is not harming anybody. Balat tzaddikim is the opposite, is ra'lohem, she'ino iskim b'Torah. Safe to assume, had he only been awake, he would have opened up a Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, a Chumash, whatever maybe he would have learned Torah. And now he can't do that. Therefore, becoming drunk for a tzaddik is not a good thing. And so too, v'ra'al o'ilam, not only is it bad for him, this tzaddik, but it's also detrimental for society. Why? Look at Rashi. V'ra lo'olam shehatoira shehein oiskin bo, because it's the Torah that the tzaddik is learning, megino al hador, protects the whole generation. Ukeshehein misbatlin, therefore, where they are bottled from Torah, they cannot be involved in Torah, then the dor does not have its protection. Is then puranios ba lo'olam chas v'shalom. Then punishment comes to the world because there's nobody to protect. There's no zchus which can act as our protection. Okay, let's just finish off the Mishnah quickly. We're running out of time. Finally, says the Mishnah, pizur l'rashoim. When rashoim becomes scattered, the last thing we want is rashoim get together. We don't want Rishoyim getting together. We want them scattered all over the show, not having connection with each other. When that happens, Pizur Rishoyim Hanolohen Vanolo Olam. Because what does Rishoyim do when they get together? All they do is plot evil. So when they're spread out and they're scattered, it's very good for them, good for other people. But let tzaddikim is ra'lohen v'ra'lo ilam. But when tzaddikim get separated, that's terrible. And the opposite is also true. Kinus l'rishoyim. When rishoyim get together, ooh, that's bad news. Ra'lohem, ra'lo ilam. But tzaddikim anolohem anolo. Why is it good? Because they get together. What do they do when they get together? All they do is they increase their Torah study. Sheket l'rishoyim ra'lohem v'ra'lo ilam. When it's quiet for Rishoyim, then that's terrible. Why? Because when it's quiet, it means he's not preoccupied with anything else, so all he's going to get up to now is evil. So therefore, the last thing we want is a Rosha to have a calm life. We want him to be as busy as possible, that he doesn't have time to commit any of his avirus. But let tzaddikim hanolohen v'hanoloilam. For tzaddik, it's a good thing, because when there's Sheket, what does he do? Sits and learns, Mekayim mitzvahs. So we'll see Mitzvah Shem Gemara tomorrow basically repeats most of this Mishnah, so we'll be able to get there very quickly, and in Mitzvah Shem move to the following Mishnah as well, all being well, tomorrow, Abba Aleinu, L'tayim.